Interested in safe weight loss methods? Jason Rantz here. Take the step I did. Book your free consultation with Eastside Weight Loss Clinic. They've uncovered the secret to losing up to a pound of fat a day. Their program focuses on swift weight loss and resetting metabolism, all without any injections or drugs. Count on their dedicated team for support to reach those goals like I did. Speaking from experience, they not only helped me achieve my weight loss goals, but maintain them. It's more than a program. This is a transformative, lifelong change. Learn more at EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. That's EastsideWeightLossClinic.com.
Dr. Ryan Coogan, D.C. Results may vary.
Coach! The yellow light!
I'm walking here! I'm walking!
Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rantz Show on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming on the KTTH smartphone app, which if you download it now, not only can you listen to the show wherever it is you go, but you can also watch the show on our brand new multi-cam studio operation system Extreme. That's what it's called. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
I just came out of my mouth in the moment that I said it, so how would you even know? But you can get it on the KTTH app. A 10th time convicted felon just arrested again. Quite the shocking revelation, I know. It's What's Trending, brought to you by Legacy Group Capital Northwest Fund.
What's trending? Crime.
There was a story that happened yesterday, and we were on the air still. It sort of developed while we were on the air, and I was keeping an eye on it. But part of the reason why I chose not to tackle it, it was kind of your run-of-the-mill story for the area. It was a police pursuit against a dude, they say, intentionally rammed two police cars. And I was thinking to myself as I was looking at it, well, okay, it was Thursday. I mean, it's not that exciting of a story at that point. It started in Bellevue. It ended in Snoqualmie. And ironically, now that we have a little bit more details and a considerable detail concerning the suspect in it all, it still kind of is a run-of-the-mill story. The suspect is a 10-time convict. Now, Duncan, our 11-year-old intern who returned from spring break early, I know why you got back early. Yeah, I heard your parents told me. He was all like, just 10? I mean, even an 11-year-old kid understands how serious this crime crisis is to the point where he says, that's it? Only 10 times he was convicted? That's actually not that bad. We've seen worse. He's right. Now, the guy's name is Brandon Wilburn. He's only 32 years old. He's been arrested and or convicted of assault, robbery, DUI, possessing a stolen vehicle, which it just so happens also was suspected yesterday. Police say they saw him in a stolen car. He was near the Factoria Mall. They tried to stop him. They put two police vehicles in front of him to try to block him in. And he was all like, I play GTA and I'm just going to drive right through it. And that's exactly what he did, according to the police. He flees onto I-90. At one point, he was driving down the wrong way of the freeway, which I don't know why you would want to do that. That just seems silly. That seems as dangerous for you as it is for the people on the freeway and the cops behind you. In fact, it's arguably worse for you than the cops behind you. So he does that, according to the police. They end up near a Snoqualmie golf course. He ends up crashing his vehicle, they say. He steals a second car, they say. He flees again. He crashed again. He fled again a third time, although this time he was on foot. I guess he couldn't find a car.
We've got people walking. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, people are going home from work.
So he runs eventually into an area that was cut off by the Snoqualmie River, where they end up making the arrest. Captain Rob Spingler with Bellevue PD spoke with Como TV.
The speeds that were involved, the danger of it, and the length of it all combines to make it a fairly dramatic scene. It just goes to show the determination that some people have to get away from the police.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they kind of think, hey, I've been convicted 10 times and I'm not in jail, so what's an 11th? Might as well add it. Might as well get through one last high-speed chase before the law changes, even though it didn't really matter here because he showed that he was violent, so they chased him. I'm kind of wondering if he forgot about that little caveat where they did make a change in the last legislative session before last, basically saying, yeah, if there's reasonable suspicion that a violent crime, a felony had occurred, yeah, we can go ahead and chase. There was probable cause here. They reached that higher bar. He just probably forgot. And so maybe he was looking behind and was like, oh, I thought you couldn't chase me until June 1st. What's going on? I don't know, but I can tell you that someone who has 10 convictions probably shouldn't be out on the streets. I'm just throwing that out there. I know the whole three strikes law is racist or something. I think, did they count that as racist, Producer Jackson? I think they did.
Most likely.
It was disproportionately impacting blah, 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 blah.
I mean, pretty much everything's racist, so yeah.
I mean, just put that on the long list. Tell me something that isn't racist at this point. Seriously, tell me one thing that's not racist other than anti-racism teaching, which is not racist at all.
Just you wait.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, right. At some point, maybe they'll turn on them too. But I mean, it is so ludicrous that when we talk about three strikes, and we talk about three strikes in the context of violent felonies, right? People wanted to get rid of that. And in Washington State, while we technically have a three strikes law, they took away from the punishment, and I think they do this almost every single year, different categories of crime. I think the last time they did this was a year and a half ago. I think it was armed robbery that they took off of the list for felonies that qualify under the three strike law. And you look at that and you say, really? What? So you're okay with someone who, let's just say, three times decided to commit an armed robbery, clear evidence, they get convicted. Three times, you say, yeah, let's bring them out. They probably learned their lesson. No, I'm telling you at 10, these people aren't learning lessons. I would argue at 2 or 3, they're not learning their lessons, especially when we're talking about violent crimes. And I know that there are a lot of folks on the left who like to say, well, you know, this is a response to a failed economy that's hurting them. This is due to poverty. This is due to lack of opportunity. Dude's 32 years old. You can't use that anymore. Sorry, I'm not going to go with that. Again, this isn't stealing a loaf of bread to feed his starving family. That's not what this is. And so at what point do we finally say, okay, someone like this probably shouldn't be out there anymore. He has wasted all of the opportunities that we have provided to give him a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth chance. What is that number? And I'm very curious what folks in the abolitionist group think. I'm assuming that number is infinite. So let's pull back just a little bit, right? We'll talk to the folks who are adjacent to the abolitionist group. Tell me what you think is one crime too many that would justify keeping these people who've committed multiple crimes in jail. What's that number? Because we've covered on this show, I remember him, and maybe we can look this up, Francisco Calderon. Now, he ended up having, I believe, 72 convictions or 73 convictions, mostly in Seattle. This was a guy who eventually got caught after throwing coffee in the face of a toddler. What is what was the end number from the last? Do we have a general?
I'm seeing 76.
76. So I was off by a few, but I was pretty good. 72. I was pretty good.
Underestimated him.
Just by a little bit. That was my biggest mistake. I mean, once you get past the 70s, once you get past the 60s and 50s and 40s, maybe you should just automatically add 10 to whatever number that comes into your mind. I mean, this is a guy 76 times at least. No one on the left who believes in second chances and third chances and fourth chances and 72nd chances, no one could have stepped forward and said, okay, maybe we ought to give up on this person because he's not getting any better. He's not taking the opportunity to not throw coffee in toddlers' faces. Why do we have to have this conversation so many times? It's absolutely maddening. And you know what? It's a Friday. I'm in a good mood because I'm always in a great mood on Fridays where I don't get haircuts. And so I don't want to talk about any of this nasty stuff anymore. I want to get to something a little bit more lighthearted. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Anti-Semitism.
Oh, okay. Gee, thanks. That made it worthwhile. You're just bringing me down again.
Talk about something else.
No, I don't know what it was about yesterday, but Nazi youth all over the place. Or let's just call them Hamas youth. I don't know what to call them anymore. I'm not going to pretend what these college students are doing when they scream about the injustices of a world in that allows Jews to exist and Israel to exist. What else should we call them at this point? When you're literally chanting for the genocide of an entire group of people who happen to all be Jewish, it's kind of Nazi-like, right? And you don't know this, Jackson. For the entirety of my radio career, I have never, ever, 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 up until this year, made comparisons to Nazi Germany or Hitler. Never. I do not like those comparisons because up until recently, those comparisons just almost insult what happened during the Holocaust. I'm not going to say someone's Nazi-like because they do something I don't like. However, I always maintained, you tell me how some people are actively trying to see Jews killed or harmed as a whole, then okay, I'll go with you. And I said that almost in jest because I never thought we would get to that point again. And yet here we are, where you've got college students who, of course, they know so much about everything. They're very smart. And adults, it's not just college students, who are taking to the streets talking about how Israel should not exist. They want to go back to a time in which Israel did not exist. They don't want coexistence. They don't want two states. You know how I know? Because they chant. They don't want two states. These are folks who are siding with Hamas. They're not pro-Palestinian. They are pro-Hamas. There is a difference. There is a big difference. And the more we cover these kinds of stories, the more clear it becomes. There are fewer and fewer and fewer, quote-unquote, pro-Palestinians than there are pro-Hamas or anti-Israel activists. There are some who will tell you they care about Palestinians, but really it's they care about the fact that Jews exist. They don't really care about Palestinians. Palestinians is a group, they're a group of people that these folks can point to and say, oh no, I support them, so they don't immediately get called out as hating Jews. Because it's one thing to say, oh no, I just don't like Jews. Can't really get away with that as clear. Well, it depends on what college campus you're on, but you generally can't get away with that without getting called out. It's like bad optics. So we're like, hey, I've got a hint. This is how you get around hating Jews publicly and openly in such a big way. Just say you don't hate Jews. I mean, call for their destruction and ultimate genocide, but say you're actually supporting Palestinians, and then you can get away with it. It's awesome. It's like saying Black Lives Matter when you're trying to, you know, discriminate en masse against white people. Just say, if you say BLM, it's cool. You can say all cops are bastards, but just make sure you say BLM at the end of it, and then you'll get a total pass. So the Nazi youth were on college campuses yesterday all across the country. Here in Washington, of course, we had UW dealing with the anti-Semitic garbage that they've been dealing with since October 7th. And the thing is, this is happening at UW because they do not value Jewish students. They do not value Jews there. And if they suspended their Jew-hating student base, they would face violence from them. And so they choose not to do anything. If they expelled the Jew haters on that campus, they wouldn't have enough tuition dollars flowing in to fund their anti-Semitic professors. And you can't have that, can you? And so yesterday, about 50 Hamas youth ended up staging a sit-in. This time it was at the Hub. Five of them chained themselves together, which is the closest they're going to get to human-to-human contact without having to pay for it, from a professional hugger so they can work through some of their emotional trauma they suffered as children. So they decided to do that, and it was very, very cool. They are martyrs for the cause. They are heroes. They are standing up for Palestinians. I mean, not the gay ones, because those get thrown from roofs, but they're standing up for the Palestinians, minus the women, because, you know, they can't really live a free life in Gaza, but we're not supposed to talk about that. We're only really supposed to focus on the fact that Israel is evil, Jews are the devil. So they broke in and stayed in. They stayed there overnight. They committed a ton of vandalism in between shouting for the destruction of Israel, the genocide of Jews, all in the name of Hamas, those freedom fighters who most definitely did not rape or murder innocent Jews at all. Where's the evidence? Show me the proof. I mean, there's a whole bunch of dead bodies over there. I had to sit through the 46-minute IDF film that showed all of the destruction, that showed the dead, mutilated bodies, some of which I'm never going to get the images out of my head. No one should be able to see what it's like to saw someone's head off simply because they happen to be Jews. And yet, well, I witnessed that. And part of me still wants the Israeli government just to put out the videos, all of them. I know why they don't. You don't want to do this to the families of these poor, innocent victims. But more people have to see the footage. Because we still hear from these absolute idiots that there's no proof whatsoever. What rape? Well, we did just hear in the New York Times from a victim of rape who was a hostage. What more do you need? Should they have videotaped the rape and then posted it? Because I think some of them did. Maybe you'll get to see that video one day. But you'll call it performance art, I'm sure. These people are sick and twisted, and they are fighting for the wrong side. And they're never going to change their minds. They're never going to change the mind. Look what they did to UW. They ended up tagging a whole bunch of walls and art pieces at the school. You had to have the day being spent by staff members, janitorial staff members, there cleaning it all up. Or as the parents of these anti-Semites would say, the help. The help that they hire, they're in this country illegally, they get to hire them for way less than they're worth, and they can manicure the lawns of their Kirkland homes or Mercer Island homes or Issaquah. Sorry. Come on.
It's true.
I'm not wrong. UW police, apparently, they were understaffed yesterday, and so when someone called to report the harassment that they were receiving after they had their Israeli flag stolen from them, UW police said, yeah, we'd love to help, but we're just understaffed, so goodbye, hang up, move on. Something tells me that that would not have been the response had someone stolen a pride flag from someone. Oh my gosh, that would have been a total hate crime. Sound the alarms. Get all of the activist groups on campus. Can't have that happen. And so as they were cleaning up all the Nazi nonsense that was posted, I was looking online and I realized something was in the water yesterday. Maybe it's ahead of the eclipse because all the Jew haters across the campuses around the country started to step forward. You had, for example, over at Rutgers, there was a town hall with the president. Now, Rutgers has been dealing with a heck of a lot of anti-Semitism and hate that has been spewed on that campus. And so they wanted to get together, I guess, to provide another target of the anti-Semitism, because you had this president of the school who basically underwent an anti-Semitic cuckolding session where basically had to deal with all of the Jew hatred and wasn't really able to say anything. And so he just fled to allow the Nazis there to chant this. Do you remember what happened in 48? Do you remember?
I think the Nation of Israel was created.
Oh, okay. On ancestral homeland, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What was before that? What was in 1947? Was Israel there?
Nope.
Okay, so they're asking for the erasure of Israel?
Sounds that way.
Okay. Got it. Where did the Jews go? Well, just don't. I don't know. I don't need you to go home, but you can't stay here. That's all. Because we're taking your home, actually. They did this over and over and over again. And then, of course, and my favorite, Columbia University kids, they're doing the whole long live the Intifada, but they say the Intifada. Have you noticed that?
It's sort of a kind of a Hispanic.
It's like a weird sort of, I think they're trying to sound like they're Middle Eastern because most of the time they're white people who are doing this. It's not even catchy. It doesn't rhyme. They're just saying Intifada multiple times. That's all they're doing. They're just chanting Intifada. But again, they're not calling for violence against Jews. Other than celebrating a violent resistance against Jews, other than that, they're totally peaceful. And they don't want to see genocide. What else does Intifada mean? Have they redefined that word like they've done women and violence and silence and all that other stuff?
I mean, as far as I know, I think it's Arabic for uprising or something like that.
So. Uprising. Is there any violence associated with the uprising?
Well, there certainly have been in the previous two intifadas.
So in other words, you're not aware of any intifadas that haven't resulted in a lot of violence.
No, they're batting 1,000, okay. I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, we might want to check Wikipedia before the anti-Semites end up scrubbing all the documentation from there. And of course, all of this is happening while they are screaming about the Intifada. You have the CIA coming out and warning Israel and Iran directly about potential violence. Because what's going to happen soon, unfortunately, if any of this intel is correct, you're going to have, remember the celebrations on the streets of Kirkland? I covered it live on October 8th. They were all celebrating. Yeah, we finally got the Jews. We finally raped and murdered. Yeah. Well, guess what? You've got Iran holding war drills ahead of what they believe U.S. intel thinks might end up becoming some violence in support of the Palestinian Intifada against Israel. You've got war drills with Iran militants, plus Yemen, Syria, Iraq, Lebanon. They've got their own militant groups. They're all getting together because the one thing that binds all of these countries, their hatred of Jews. Their hatred of Western civilization. The Free Beacon said that, quote, a more than 3,000 ship convoy composed of Iran's volunteer Bazij forces is being led by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps throughout the Persian Gulf and the Sea of Oman. According to Tehran's state-controlled media, the ships are said to be operating, quote, in support of the Palestinian Intifada. And so the Biden administration sent a message to Iran this week warning them, we better not have any American forces getting hit because they're anticipating a strike against Israel and they don't want that to be used as a reason to go after any U.S. soldiers or military presence. Because the last thing that Joe Biden wants to do is to have to go to war or strike militarily Iran or any of the other countries for something that accidentally killed an American soldier when really the whole thing was about going after Jews. And he doesn't want to be seen as fighting for Jews. You have seen his rhetoric shift dramatically over the course of the last few weeks. It shows you how absolutely desperate he is to court the anti-Semitic voting base of the Democrat Party. That's how desperate he is. And he was asked today a question from a reporter, don't know who the reporter was, basically saying, are you turning on Israel? And he looks to the reporter with that stupid smile on his face and those stupid aviator sunglasses that he thinks makes him look younger, which in that case would mean 72. And he says, is that a serious question? Yeah, it's a serious question. It is a serious question because now you're talking about conditions on aid. You are implying that Israel is targeting civilians. So, yeah, it is a serious question. Notice you didn't actually answer the question, though, because God forbid, again, you get filmed saying, no, I side with Israel. You would never want to do that. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text message. Other than that, I'm doing pretty good today. I'm having a good day.
I think so.
Cheery and bright day. Oh, God. It's Friday. 1-800-465-877. It's a Jason Rancho.
AM 770 KTTH is here for you. Be a part of the conversation.
Imagine how bad it must be as a parent, be in a position where you can't publicly state any kind of disagreement with a teacher without fear of that teacher's wrath.
Keep yourself informed through our social media.
The president and his administration, his policies, I think that they have led in some ways indirectly to a lot of chaos, instability.
Follow AM 770 KTTH on X, formerly known as Twitter. This is AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH. Thank you so much for tuning in. On Monday, you're going to get the opportunity to stare directly at the eclipse for more than a few seconds, ensuring that you go blind. But maybe for the people who are dumb enough to do that, they won't even be able to because of the cloud coverage. Is it going to be cloudy? Will we actually see any of this eclipse on Monday? Joining me on the air to discuss is our friend Cliff Mass, of course, a UW Atmospheric Sciences professor. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot.
It's my understanding that if I look directly at it, my eyesight will go bad or something. So, you know, if I accidentally look up on Monday, will I actually see anything?
You're not going to see anything worth looking at them, unfortunately. We're only going to have about 20% of the sun's disk covered by the moon, which is not very much. And on top of that, there'll be plenty of clouds, especially on the coast. We'll have some mixed clouds here over western Washington. So, you know, you're going to have a very, very minimal eclipse here, and there'll be plenty of clouds. So I'm afraid it will not be very dramatic here.
Yeah, so even if it were just perfect scenario as far as the location where the eclipse is seen the most, you're still saying because of the cloud coverage, you're probably pretty much not going to see anything.
Yeah, well, there'll be some. I suspect there'll be some breaks, especially in eastern Washington and over the Cascades. So you might be able to get a glimpse of it, but you got to be careful. And there are safe ways. And some people may still have the glasses left over from the last eclipse, or you can create a little pinhole camera and project the sun's image on a piece of paper. There are safe ways to deal with it. But in any case, it probably won't be worth the effort here, unfortunately.
Well, that's you're saying at least unless you're on the east side of the state, it would you have a little bit better of a shot?
Yeah, you'll have the sky open if you're in the Cascades and into the east. So you will be able to see that partial eclipse. But 20% is not very dramatic. In fact, the tragedy of this is where there will be totality, like in Texas. There's going to be extensive cloud cover. And a lot of people from our region have flown to Texas. Oh. And unfortunately, Texas is going to be really quite cloudy on Monday morning. Well, so even they won't see it very well.
Yeah. When we look at just the path of totality, where in the United States is the based on projections of cloud coverage, what's the best location to actually see the eclipse?
I can tell you that now with some assurance, and that is northern Maine.
Northern
Maine. So northern New England.
But then you got to suffer through all the accents.
You do, but it'll be worth it. But you get some lobster, which is good.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
In any case, northern Maine is going to be the best place in the country. I think there won't be clouds. You'll have totality. So that's if you're desperate to go, that's where you need to go. But a lot of people had made plans. They had rooms and flights to go to Texas. And unfortunately, it looks like there'll be a lot of clouds in Texas.
Because,
it's not going to be good.
Because I like to keep some drama, in western Washington, if in a best-case scenario, what is the best possible location for someone to go hang out in and be disappointed or not?
The best place would be to go as far east as you can. So don't go to the coast. Head towards the Cascades, that direction. Head towards Northwest Washington and head towards the Cascades. That'll be the best direction to go. I mean, there may be some middle clouds and high clouds, but there'll be breaks. And so, yeah, I think, and we're talking about the morning around 11 o'clock. So, that's the period that we care about.
So all these dumb articles that I'm reading from all the local TV news stations and newspapers about what to expect on Monday, it's all just gunk because we're not going to expect anything. We're not going to see anything.
Even if it was perfectly clear.
Yeah.
20% you hardly would even notice. I mean, if you had six glasses, you'd see a little portion, 20%, one-fifth of the sun getting covered by the moon. I mean, that's what you're going to see. But let me tell you something. The difference between a total eclipse and 99% is huge. 100% is a religious experience. I went through it last time here in Oregon, and I was scared. Deep down, it is an emotional experience to be in a total eclipse, but being in 95%, it's nothing like it.
Well, now I'd rather have the 99%. You're making me freaked out about looking at a full eclipse.
Yeah, you want the full eclipse?
No, I don't want that. I don't want to experience any more emotional trauma. What are you doing to me, Cliff? My God, do you know what my day is like already? How stressed out I always am.
Well, it's very moving. It is really there's something that's scary at a basic, very, very basic, fundamental animal level.
Mm-hmm.
When all of a sudden the sky turns dark, the animals they respond. They quiet down. The birds come down.
Really?
It's just really eerie and strange.
So does it have any effect on weather patterns at all?
It does. First, the temperature's cool, and it's very noticeable, when you, especially when you get over 95%. Mm-hmm. You definitely have this cooling. The other thing is things that are driven by the sun's rays, like thunderstorms, and, you know, instability. You know, when you have cumulus, you know, bubbling up, that tends to die because the warming of the surface, which is driving that, has died. So yeah, so the sky can change. The cumulus can die. So, yeah, and the temperature's cool. All these things can happen. So it does have meteorological impacts.
Well, and it does have it creates nighttime-like conditions, correct?
It does. It turns dark. But the bizarre thing is you can look to the horizon, and it can be light. So, you know, the darkness is very limited. It's only a few hundred miles. And so you can often see the edges where things are lit up, but you're in darkness. It's very weird.
So do you have to wear sunscreen for the eclipse, or can you get away with, you know, one day going outside without it?
No, it's unfortunately, the effects are relatively short-lived. I mean, the sun, it takes about an hour to come in and out. So, you know, so I don't think you it's going to affect your sunscreen use very much.
Boo. I'm looking for some benefits, that's all. Especially since we're not going to get any of it anyway. I guess I don't have to wear sunscreen now anyway.
Yeah.
Especially today.
I mean, it does have benefits for the economy because there's this massive amount of tourism for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, people, hotels, airline reservations. So it's a major boom, supposedly even billions of dollars over that part of the United States in terms of economic activity. So it has some effects.
I feel like we just had a solar eclipse not long ago, right?
We did. A few years ago, we had it in Oregon. And, I mean, I went down to that.
That was a big deal. Yeah.
That was a big deal, and that was definitely worth seeing. Fortunately, that was in the summertime when things are more reliable. This event is being ruined by these upper-level clouds that are coming in.
Those damn Nimbus clouds. How dare they?
So it's unfortunate, you know, that this, you know, the season is one that you tend to have more clouds. So.
Aside from this, what are you seeing weather-wise over the course of the next several weeks? What are we expecting? Is it going to stay this dreary for the next, basically until July?
Well, you know, we have a situation where a lot of the weather's been going to California. This is the leftover from El Nino. You know, we came out of a very strong El Nino, and that tends to produce this type of phenomena, these features where lows move south into California. So California has been hit very hard by precipitation, massive snowpack. The reservoirs are all filled there. So, you know, there's been a lot of talk of climate change related to drought in California. Well, forget that. I mean, the reservoirs are all full now. Okay, so we've had that, but for us, things go south of us, and so we've been a little bit drier than normal, and our snowpack is a little bit below normal, and so, you know, that's been affecting us. And so, you know, so we have more of the same. Over the weekend, we have more showers coming in, none very heavy, but it'll be precipitating over, you know, especially later on Saturday. So.
Cliff, in your real life, does everyone just bug you constantly about weather?
Well, I get a lot of talk, and I do a blog, of course, and I get a lot of interaction.
Well, the blog part is, but I, you know, if I'm out and someone knows me from radio or TV, they always want to talk politics, and I always look at them and say, dude, I just did 3 hours talking about politics. You want to go watch my 3-minute clip on Hannity last night if you want to know about that topic. Do you ever do that? Do you ever snap at people like, enough with the weather talk?
No, I don't do that very much, but it's because I love the weather, and you know, hopefully you love politics. So.
I do, but I do want to break every once in a while. Well, I hope people will check out your website. It's cliffmass.blogspot.com. Again, cliffmass.blogspot.com. It's a tremendous resource. You can read it and, you know, actually get a little bit more detail than you're used to. So you're actually, you know, educated on these things. And even when you don't understand what it is he's writing about, you can memorize it and make it seem like you're smarter than everybody else around you when you talk about weather.
Well, I hope they understand. But anyway, we'll go from there.
Well, I don't know what some of the names you use. I have no idea what the undulatus apparatus is. I know it has to do with the clouds. That's it.
right. So my last blog was about these wavelength clouds that I got a lot of people sending me emails and pictures about. So people love the weather.
I always thought those were cirrus clouds.
No, those are not cirrus clouds. Those are these undulating clouds due to waves in the atmosphere. So people love weather. Weather is like a religion, and you know, it's like a natural religion. So
Now I want to know what cirrus clouds are, because I remember them being almost like I know that they're short. They kind of look like, I don't know, hair almost.
Yeah, well, cirrus clouds are high ice clouds. They're kind of wispy and you know, little thin tendrils of wispiness. So you know, so that they're different than the clouds that we were talking about the other day.
Well, the more you learn, I think everyone got a lot about this. I mean, in all of the disappointment about what you told them about the eclipse, I think they learned enough about clouds already that it gives them a little bit of a leg up the next dinner party conversation they have.
Sounds good.
There you go, Cliff Mass. Again, the website is cliffmass.blogspot.com. Go there, bookmark it. It's a website you should be checking out every single day. Cliff, thank you so much for stopping by, as always. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.
Stay with KTTH as Republicans push to win back the White House.
Look, there's more enthusiasm for Trump than there is for Joe Biden, and Joe Biden is facing a lot of issues with younger voters.
Download the AM770 KTTH app in your Apple or Android app store or at ktth.com.
Anytime an elected official says, in my political career, it's not a career. Running for re-election every 6 years, 4 years, or 2 years, that's not a career. That's just running for money.
Stay informed with KTTH, your campaign headquarters.
To the Jason Rant Show on AM 770 KTTH. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. There is nothing quite like getting a history lesson from someone who's a total idiot. I feel like that's always the best kind of history lesson.
Certainly the most entertaining.
Right? I feel like, especially when they start the conversation with, let me tell you a little bit of history. So back in 1942, at the founding of the United States, we were only a few colonies, I think three or four or something like that. And the founding people got together, men and women, and they said, you know what? We are going to be an anti-racist colony. Didn't you know that?
Didn't.
Yeah. Never go to Kamala Harris for anything that is outside of the realm of cackling uncontrollably in weird spots.
He does know a lot about yellow school buses, though.
Remember that? And Venn diagram. We know. Yeah, we got it. Venn diagrams. So she was talking with Spectrum News for some reason about the NCAA women's basketball tournament bracket, which apparently was just created. In fact, they didn't even allow women to play basketball in college until 2019. It is kind of insane. Let me give you a little history lesson.
Do you know? Okay, a bit of a history lesson.
Oh, God.
Do you know that women were not, the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022?
She posted her bracket on Twitter in 2021.
Probably wasn't actually her that posted it.
Her staff posted her bracket in 2021. But please continue to school us.
Think about that and what that talk about progress, you know, better late than never, but progress and what that has done. Because, of course, when, you know, I had a bracket, it's not broken completely, but I won't talk about my bracket.
Wait, in 2021 or this year? Because now I'm confused. Which bracket are you talking about? The one where the brackets didn't even exist or the one this time? Can you explain?
But you know what? Just how we love March Madness, and even just now allowing the women to have brackets and what that does to encourage people to talk more about the women's teams, to watch them. Now they're being covered, you know. And this is the reality. People used to say, "Oh, women's sports. Who's interested?" Well, if you can't see it, you won't be. But when you see it, you realize, oh.
Yeah. Hey, lady. You realize lots of people see women's basketball, for example. You know what they're not interested in? Go to a game. Go to a game. What's the team that plays over there?
The Storm?
Yeah. You ever see any people coming out of that stadium?
No.
Or go in. Or sometimes they go in, but they never come out.
It's like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
Yeah, it really is. They all become Oompa Loompas or something. You know, at some point, you gotta end the whole, if they can't see you do something, they're not gonna be inspired. That's all you have to do is to let people, you know, see themselves doing something. It doesn't always work. I don't personally care if you have brackets or not? No, but I'm so sick and tired of just this laziness. It's just lazy garbage. And there's always an excuse for something not doing well. There's always an excuse. And you know, it started in the biggest way most recently with the U.S. women's national team on the soccer side not getting paid the same as the men. Why would they get paid the same as the men?
Because equity or something.
Equity in what? Not certainly the level of gameplay.
How dare you?
Or popularity. Or money making. Oh, but you see, they have more titles. So? And? I'm sure there's a WNBA team that has more championship titles than an NBA team. And even the worst NBA team is doing better financially from a fan perspective, from a ratings perspective, than the best team on the WNBA. That doesn't mean everyone hates women's sporting events. Some people like it, play to them. It's a smaller group of people because the gameplay isn't the same. There's probably some female athletes or sports that do better than men, I'm sure. I mean, we can pretend figure skating, for example, is a sport. It's not. I mean, it's really just a hobby. But, I mean, that does probably better for women. Swimming, maybe. Track. I mean, tennis is one. Not golf. Tennis, though. Okay. I mean, you have like really, you have big players, obviously, on the tennis side and the male side, but Serena and Venus, like they completely changed everything. The one who got stabbed, that whoever she was. Do you remember what her name was? No?
It wasn't Sharapova, was it?
What? No, I don't. Did she get stabbed?
I don't think so.
Or maybe I made that up and I saw it in a movie. But my point is, there are some sports that do better than others. Now, should the men complain that they don't get the same amount of play in men's tennis? Although that wasn't always true, obviously. Things are sort of up and down. The reason why I even brought this up, there was a story. Do you know who, what the heck is her name? Corbin Albert is?
I don't, no.
Sexist much? You don't know who Corbin Albert is?
Should I?
She's a new-ish U.S. women's national team player. And she's been going viral on Twitter for the last several days because she hates trans people. And you know how she hates trans? You know how we know this? She posted on her TikTok a video of someone who was once confused about their gender identity and then realized through God and through support of the church that, oh, I was just confused. Now, I don't know if this is someone who has been convinced to be confused and wasn't confused to begin with. Like, it's a weird reverse thing. Don't know. That's all she did. She posted one video of some kid saying, I was once confused and now I'm not. That is pretty much it. And then, oh my God, you had Megan Rapinoe come out, who's the most insufferable person in the world and a total intolerant bigot, talking about how insane this is. She's creating unsafe spaces for transgender athletes. And then another player who I think was a former player came out on Twitter last night saying basically the same thing and how we just can't allow this kind of bigotry on the pitch. We just can't. And this poor player who I think is like 22 years old, who quite literally posted the most inoffensive thing ever. I'm so sorry. I didn't intend to hurt people. That was obviously not my intent, you idiots. She didn't say the idiot part, but I was thinking it as I was reading it. And she's just getting piled on over and over and over again. And just today, or maybe it might have been last night, midfielder Lindsey Horan and Alex Morgan, the forward, they made an unscheduled appearance on a video call with reporters ahead of this event tomorrow. It's called, this is why people don't watch, She Believes Cup. Yeah, we're going to watch that tournament. And they decided to just like owned this story and forward their own narrative. They said, we've worked extremely hard to uphold the integrity of this national team through all the generations, and we are extremely, extremely sad that this standard was not upheld. Our fans and our supporters feel like this team, this is a team that can rally behind, that we can rally behind. It's so important they feel and continue to feel undeniably heard and seen. It's all about needing to be seen. I thought you couldn't see gender identity. In fact, I was told you're definitely not supposed to make any assumptions based on what you see in front of you. But now that's all about what's to be seen. What she really means is you either accept gender identity extremism or you are antithesis to this team. And maybe that's what they have curated as a value of the U.S. Women's National Team. And maybe that's what they want in the female soccer league. Okay. Again, that's why you don't make as much or shouldn't make as much as men, because you're not getting that. You're not bringing in people because of stuff like this. And soccer in this country, men's soccer, yeah, they've hit a ceiling. They hit a ceiling a long time ago. The Sounders are trying to, in a city that is a soccer town just because of the wokeness factor, thinking they're going to be able to bring in more people. Yeah, they tried. Didn't quite work. Didn't quite work because they keep spitting all this garbage out. And you're putting this on yourself. You're putting this on yourself. Why did the NBA all of a sudden, two seasons ago, start to shift back? They started to push away the BLM nonsense. Why? Because people were not watching anymore. And I know people tried to make excuses for that. Well, you know, there was a playoff game and it was on a Thursday. And, you know, there was a really cool episode of Jeopardy on that same night. And so, of course, it's not going to do the same numbers. Do you remember that? Just like nonstop trying to explain away poor ratings. And then all of a sudden, all the garbage wokeness went away for the most part, at least from a league perspective, not player perhaps. And then the ratings went back up. Same with the NFL. I love how people just completely forgot that. Or my favorite, pretended it wasn't true. What are you talking about? We're just as woke now. No, you throw in some wokeness and it bothers people, but you tend to do it early on where you don't think as many people are watching and you hope they don't find out. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.